This week in Charleston history. July 1st, 1671. Sir John Yeamans arrived from Barbados with 50 settlers and more supplies. The lure of Carolina was simple. He wrote,
"A combination of old world elegance and frontier boisterousness, ostentatious in their dress, dwellings, and furnishings. They liked hunting, guns, dogs, military titles like captain and colonel. A big midday meal and light supper. They enjoyed long hours at their favorite taverns over bowls of cold rum punch or brandy."
July 2nd, 1681. The man our rivers are named for, the Lord Anthony Ashley Cupper, was arrested for treason and placed in the Tower of London. The charges stemmed from Ashley's staunch opposition to Charles II's Catholic brother, James, Duke of York, succeeding to the throne. Cupper had long advocated banning all 16,000 English Catholics from living within 10 miles of London.
"Bloody Catholics filling the bloody world up with bloody people they can't afford to bloody feed.
What are we, dear?
Protestant and fiercely proud of it."
Also on July 2nd, in 1864, General Foster devised a plan to take the city of Charleston. The Federals launched an attack at Fort Johnson on James Island with 2,500 troops landing on the beach from barges. The Federal ironclads bombarded the fort from the harbor, and the battle was over quickly, with 130 Confederate troops defeating the larger Federal forces. General Jones received a message from Lieutenant Colonel Yates from Fort Johnson.
"We lost but one man killed, had but 90 men in fight against 1,000 of the enemy. We captured 150 prisoners, one colonel, one lieutenant colonel, one adjutant, and two other officers."
On July 3rd, 1845, Macon Bowling Allen, an African-American, passed the Maine bar exam. He became one of the first black people to practice law in America, first in Maine and then in Massachusetts. He moved to Charleston after the Civil War and established a law practice. July 4th, 1670, Captain Joseph West complained that several of the settlers were
"so addicted to rum that they will do little but whilst the Baltimore is at their nose."
And he cited
"grand abuses that profanely violate the Sabbath."
If he were alive today, he would see that little has changed. Also, July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress approved the final wording of the Declaration of Independence. The ideals of individual liberty, first espoused by the English philosopher John Locke, were now clearly expressed by Thomas Jefferson. All four South Carolina delegates voted for independence. Arthur Middleton, 34 years old. Thomas Hayward Jr., 29 years old. Thomas Lynch Jr., 27 years old. And Edward Rutledge was the youngest signer of the Declaration, just 26 years old. July 5th, 1770, the statue of William Pitt was dedicated at Meeting Street and Broad Street, the first commemorating a public figure in America. The statue was in the intersection of Broad and Meeting Street, but today is located inside the Charleston County Courthouse lobby. Behind him is the inscription, "Where law ends, tyranny begins." On July 6, 1774, 104 delegates arrived at the Exchange Building for a general meeting. Charlestonians Henry Middleton, John Rutledge, Edward Rutledge, Thomas Lynch, and Christopher Gadsden were named delegates to the First Continental Congress. Dr. David Ramsey attended the meeting and wrote,
"This convention of the people and these resolutions laid the foundation of all subsequent proceedings, which ultimately terminated in a revolution. The people, by virtue of their inherent right to resist illegal oppression by their rulers, delegated full powers to five men of their own choice to take care of their political interest. The germ of representative government then planted has grown up to the tree of liberty and happiness."
And that was This Week in Charleston History on the Sound of Charleston, 105.5 The Bridge.